Good morning. Good to see you. Thank you. Go, Holy Spirit. Let's do it like this. It's good to see you today. Joe and Therese are up in the mountains with the other pastors and their wives, and they're talking about just getting our churches aligned and streamlined, because we believe that the Spirit's doing something here at His place, and there's going to be other churches being planted, and we're just plumbing it up right now. Amen. So Therese wanted me to let you guys know that we need volunteers for the children's ministry. So, you know, if God's putting it on your heart to start serving, I mean, that's where I started. And it's awesome if you think about it, because, you know, planting the seed in a little child, the seed of Jesus, and that they're loved, and that God loves them and will be with them. I mean, what a blessing, because we all go this way and that, and you might never ever see that kid again, but you planted that seed of Jesus inside that child. And even if they go sideways when they get older, they'll remember the Jesus that they met at His place. Amen? So, if you want to serve, that's a great place to start. Great place. So, how many of you guys were here last weekend? I heard it was off the hook. Attaboy, David. Praise and honor and glory to the Holy Spirit. Attaboy, kid. You want to hear something funny? So, I wasn't here last weekend because me and my family went to L.A. to do a photo shoot for the Christmas card. My wife cracks the whip. You know, it's time. Get in the car. Christmas cards. So we were up there doing that, and Joe and David and I had talked. You know, we're going into, you know, Halloween and stuff. Let's do the series Spirit World. That'll be a good one for October. And so we went out to dinner, and you talk about this, you talk about this, and I'll talk about this. And it was kind of a vague. We were just having dinner, but so I go home, and I'm working on my message. I got about like 4 to 6 hours into this thing, you know, and I get home from LA and I look on Facebook, man, and like everybody's up front worshiping God, and I'm like, yeah, right on, like, man, that was a good message. And Monday I listened to the podcast and it was bomb. It was a killer message, but he was using all the stuff that I was going to preach on. So I'm like, man, that's good. Delete. And so I was like, okay, I'll just do what, you know, any preacher would do. What do you want to do now? And God gave me this, I'm so happy that happened, because see, I don't want you to hear what Chris Jones has to say. I want you to hear what God has to say. Amen. So I'm excited. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your amazing Spirit that is so powerful. I thank you that love conquers all. Love always wins. So let every heart and every mind be in one accord today, just ready to receive what you have for them, God. And I pray over that seed that'll be planted in their hearts, that it's good ground with rich soil that will produce fruit in their life forever and ever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so Spirit World. I want to talk about being led by the Spirit today. So I figured I'd start off with a true story about my life. And in order to do that, I got to give you, I want to give you a little background. And some of you know my story, some of you don't, but I didn't grow up in church. I have been, I'm an ex-con, ex-junkie, you know, let That's the kind of life that I lived. I didn't grow up in church. You get it? So I'm trying to paint a picture here. So total dysfunction in my, you know, I mean, I had a good childhood. I'm not going to say it was all bad, but I took a left turn at Albuquerque when I turned 13 and found punk rock music. So, and my wife, my beautiful, amazing, wonderful wife, she grew up in a total dysfunctional family as well. And see, both of us, neither of us had ever had what you would call a healthy relationship. Neither of us had ever had that, ever. And we met or whatever, and I went back to prison, something like that. I want to go quickly through this because I got a lot to say and a little time to say it. So I get sober, about 8 years, and then we get saved. And man, we were super saved. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got saved and we were like, what, Jesus? And I mean, I went after I anyway. So I mean, I just went after him, man. And I started doing ministry and preaching. And I was in a Christian punk band and, you know, traveled all over the place. But, and we thought, well, I'm a child of God now. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I'm doing all this stuff in the church. So he's going to fix our relationship problem. You know, he'll just do that. He's God. And he did do that. He does do that. But it's a process. It's a process. And so... You know, oh, I forgot to put this little thing in there too. When my wife was pregnant with my son, and I was freshly sober or whatever, I messed around on her. And I'm not proud of that at all. But I say that because it had this ripple effect. And I want everybody to recognize that we do things in our life and it ripples out. Because, see, I did that. I didn't get caught. Nobody knew, and then after that I got saved. So now I'm trying to be the good guy, you know what I mean? But there's a disconnect between my wife and I already. And I couldn't, you know, I'm a super nice Christian guy I turned into, okay? And we couldn't connect. So my wife ended up doing the same thing to me. And man, when that happened, I was like, oh, because it hurts. I was really, you know, my heart was ripped out of my chest. And I mean, that was, see, at that moment, I had a choice. I could totally leave and nobody would have batted an eye. But the Holy Spirit goes, hey, what about you? And I'm like, oh, that's right. So, and you know what the Holy Spirit said? Hey, if you leave, who's going to show her what unconditional love is? I want to show her my love. And I want you to know something. See, at this point, I was not super Christian guy, okay? The super Christian guy over here went back out into the world and started drinking and medicated and smoking weed and doing the, what alcoholic and drug addicts do when they are in pain, you know, and they don't face their demons. But God's bigger. Amen. God's bigger than that. So, and I want you to see that he don't lose any of his. You say Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I'm not telling you to go out and party and rage and it's all good, because I'm not. I'm telling you that you're his, and you'll always be his, and he's guiding you, and he's doing things in your life, and it's much, much better just to be in his presence. All that drug and alcohol, can I say crap from the pulpit? Well, I just did. That's all fake. That's all, you know, it's all fake stuff. You know, it's what the real connection feels like. Anyway, okay, moving on. So, like I said, I was in a bad place. I didn't even, you know, God's speaking to me and I'm not even seeking him out, you know. I'm still wandering or whatever. And I remember my wife and I were crying. We were holding each other crying on the bed because it was like, oh my God, like we're so like just crushed and beaten, both of us hurt by the other one. And God spoke to me and said, I needed to tear you both down so I could build you up as one. Like I needed to smash both of you, get your attention, and then build you up as one because there was so much dysfunction in both of us. So great, we're going to work it out, right? And I'm sober again, and I'm getting back in to where I need to be, and I'm working out of town. So I'm working out by, like, you know, one of the casinos or something, and I couldn't afford a hotel, so the guy that was working with me is like, hey, I got a buddy that lives out there. We'll just stay at his house and then, you know, do the job and drive home. I'm like, cool. So we go out there. We get there kind of late at night, and the guy lets us in and just goes right to bed. And, you know, we get there, and we just, you know, I'm on the couch, and he's on the love seat or whatever, and we go to sleep. I had this dream. And see, I don't remember dreams. The only dreams that I really remember are the ones when God's speaking to me. And they're, you know, I don't really remember dreams. Some people do. Some people can remember everything the night before. Not me. But I remember this one. I'll never forget this one. So I fell asleep on the couch and I have this dream. I'm in Target. And for some reason, I'm dressed like a cowboy. Yeah. Yeehaw. So I'm walking through Target, and I see these three black images, you know, and I can't remember totally, but I think that there's a taller image behind them, and I can feel the hate coming off them. Like, it's a hate that I've never felt before, only the other times that I've ever been attacked. It's a hate, but this is like, it's a seething hate that, I mean, I can tell these guys want me dead. And I pop up off the couch and I hear God say, you better get up and pray. You better get up and pray right now. Pray for your family, pray for you, pray for your marriage. You better get up and pray. And it was the kind of thing that was like, you better get up, boy. You better get up right now and pray for your family. Because I woke up and I couldn't see it with my eyes, but there was a spiritual war. There was a back alley street knife fight between angels and demons going on for me right then. And I knew it. It was like, because, see, the devil doesn't want us free. He doesn't want us in healthy relationships. If you're going to give your life to Jesus, he at least wants you to be dysfunctional. So you know what I'm saying? You know, God is good, yeah. God. Anyway, I don't want to jump ahead of myself, but so I pop up off the couch and I start praying in tongues, and I want you to know something. That's a gift from God. It is a powerful gift from God. It is real. And I'm telling you, you can have it if you want it. You just got to open your mouth and pray in a different language than English. But if you don't, it doesn't make you any less than, you know, we're not. But I'm not going to get off this stage without telling you it's real and it's powerful. So I begin to pray in tongues, and everybody's asleep in the house, so I'm whispering, you know what I mean? But I'm screaming inside, Because I start prophesying over my family. I'm like, for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I break every assignment of the devil over my marriage, over my kids, over me. I will preach the gospel again. I'm walking around in this living room. I will preach the gospel again. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. But I'm like lit. I mean, it was crazy. It was crazy. And I'm not exaggerating. I'm not lying to you. This really, really happened to me. And so I pray for 2 hours until I feel like God releases me. And I totally, thank you, praise God. But I believe with all my heart and soul that that was a pivotal point in my walk with God. For one, obedience to listening to Him. And for two, see, I love praying for you. Joe loves praying for you. David loves praying for you. We love praying for you. But something happens when you take authority. When a person steps up and goes, no. And the authority of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, I cancel all assignments of the devil over my family, over my life. I walk in the Spirit, but no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm a child of God. Something happens when you do that. And I mean, it's like that makes the devil go, whoa. And he can't do a thing about it. Oh, he'll come at you again, but you just do it again. So that being said, I want to recap on just one more thing that David shared last week, because it's important. There's a battle between our flesh and our spirit. And I like to call it a dog fight, because whichever dog you feed more is going to win the fight. You got to feed the one and starve the other. That's just the way it is. The more that we just connect with God, it's not a religious thing. God doesn't want you to read your Bible because you religiously have an obligation to read that book. It ain't like that. There's promises in that Bible for you. There's life scriptures that you hold on to, and when the you know what hits the fan, you speak it out over your life. And you make that assignment, make that circumstance. He says we can move mountains. But we have to step into that authority ourselves and call it out. Let me read 1 Corinthians 15. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Now I want to show you the perfect example of being led in the Spirit. Who's our perfect example? Jesus. Jesus was baptized, and when he came out of the water, the Holy Spirit descended on him, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And what happened? He was led out into the wilderness. Immediately the Spirit took him into the wilderness. Mark says he was driven. Jesus was driven into this wilderness by the Spirit. Why? For a purpose. There was a purpose that God had Jesus go into the wilderness. Now, Jesus didn't pack a backpack full of water and some bread and his cell phone, Facebook. You know what I'm saying? He all he took was a spirit. Spirit of God. Now, the devil shows up and tempts him. But he relies on the Spirit and the Scripture that he had studied before and already had inside of him came out of him. So when the devil tempted him, he said, "It is written." That's why we study the Word. Because he will try to trick us. We'll get all fired up today, but we're leaky Christians. You know what I'm saying? We'll get fired up today, but I encourage you to be fired up all week. Now, there's a few things that happen in the wilderness. And Jesus lived a perfectly sinless life, so he didn't have to get rid of any baggage. He just went to fight the demon. But we learn obedience. We learn faith building. We learn patience. We shed things that we don't need. And we face our demons. You see, we give our lives to Jesus. Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. I am sick and tired of living my life the way it is. I feel drawn by your Spirit, and I invite you in. And Jesus says, right on, come with me. And you begin to step into the wilderness. Now, like I said, see, we get scared. We get scared in the wilderness because for some reason, and at least I did, I thought, I give my life to Jesus, I'm a child of God, it's unicorns and rainbows from here on out. I mean, like, I wouldn't tell you that, but that's kind of the way I felt. And it's the most amazing thing to walk through life with Christ. But it's got hills and valleys. You got mountaintops and valleys. But God is with us. God is always with us. And that's what he wants to remind us of. Amen? He is all that we need. If he is all that Jesus needed, he's all that we need. Now I'm gonna share an example of maybe we can identify with this a little bit more. The children of Israel. Okay, the children of God. Oh, we're in bondage in Egypt. God, deliver us. Deliver us from Egypt. God says, all right. Does the plagues. They're led out by Moses into the wilderness. And so they're in the wilderness and they're complaining. And they're complaining. God's feeding them. God's leading them in the wilderness. And they're just complaining. And see, God feeding them and leading them in the wilderness, that's good. But God had great for them. God's leading them through the wilderness to greatness, to the promised land, to the land flowing with milk and honey. They lost sight of that. Like sometimes we do, amen? But here's the thing. Oh, they even get to the promised land, right? They finally get there, and they scope it out. And only all of them but a couple went, oh, man, it's great, but there's giants there. They're going to smash us. So there's no way that we can have that. And a couple of them are like, no, God promised. No, and that takes me to Numbers 14. That night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, if we had only died in Egypt or in this wilderness, Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back into bondage where it was familiar. You see, we get scared and we just want to go back to what was familiar. I did it. I did it in my walk. And it was horrible. It was horrible. And I thank God that I made it out alive. See, it's one thing for God to deliver us out of Egypt, right? Jesus coming to my life changed my life. Man, boom! He delivers us. It's a whole other thing for him to get Egypt out of us. That's a process. That is a process that we must trust, and that's why he says, come. Come to the wilderness. Trust me. But here's the thing. Jesus Christ died to give us full access. He sent us a promise. He sent us a promise that seals us not only for eternal life, but that we have a guide, a helper, the Holy Spirit. Jesus sent the promise or the promised land in us. Here it is. It's not a destination. We are the destination. And let me tell you what kind of fruit grows in the promised land. You call Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. He's given you his Holy Spirit. This is what kind of fruit. Galatians 5, 22 through 25. Well, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance or tolerance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Who doesn't need more of that? Against such things there is no law. You see, as God says, come, trust me. Walk in the wilderness. Let things fall away off you. Die to the things of this world, the things that you brought out of Egypt with you. You've lived so long there. I'm bringing you out, but you're taking this stuff that made you operate in certain ways, and the distrust and the resentment and the insecurities. I need those to fall away. Because let me tell you something. God is way more concerned about making us holy than happy. But it's beautiful, man. The more we trust him and the more we just quit complaining. And you know, especially, you know, I don't want to single, but anybody in this room, everybody in this room is having some kind of relationship with somebody. And I've found that when I get this right, I get this right. When I can just focus on God and his goodness, and that I was attacked even making this message, like on, you know, Wednesday or Thursday, driving my car, and I just something from the past that came, and I had to use what I learned and call it out. Go, no, I'm not going to stew on that. I'm going to live in love. I'm going to live in joy. I'm going to live in peace and tolerance, kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness, and I will have self-control right now. I will bring that thought down in the name of Jesus. I just rebuke it right now. It helps. It works. It really does, because the thoughts are going to come. And I like to say it like this. You can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop it from nesting there. And definitely don't start serving it cheese and crackers. You know what I'm saying? Because some of us just like to spin and stir. And I mean, we create these things in our head. Come on. Am I the only one? Come on now. And it's for what? And then we end up like treating the person bad and saying, I'm sorry. You know what I'm saying? No need. See, God has promised us tools. And you can't stop love. You just can't stop it. If we operate out of love, so if we stay connected, man, the time I wake up, God, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord. Bless this day. God, give me self-control today. I need it. Holy Spirit, help me. And just begin to commune with God and worship Him throughout the day. And study, man, life is life. It's not like we're not going to be in it. But just every moment that we can. Because my whole point of this message today is to make God more real to you than He was. Like, He's a person in our life that loves us. I mean, He's powerful. He's the most powerful. But He's not some story or some almighty, like, distant power that, dude, He's so intimate and close and real. He's so real. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you would see that today and really get it in your spirit. Because He's not, like David was saying, He ain't going to leave you. He ain't going to forsake you. He loves you. He's got a purpose for you. You're valuable. You are on His mind all the time. So we don't have to be afraid of the giants. We don't have to be afraid in adversity. We don't have to, like, because you know how we'll pray for things? Like, man, I prayed for my marriage for so long. Like, when? When is the lightning bolt going to hit her, Lord? Because then it would be okay. And the more that, I mean, like, and He's like, oh, really? Well, check it out. You got some Egypt that you need to drop off if you want to see any kind of fruit in that area. And the more that I give it up to God, the more that I see the fruit. It's so much better. It's so much better living in the Spirit. And we were meant to need this. Okay? If I need this, that's a huge responsibility for you. Something that you really can't live up to, and me too. See what I'm saying? When we need something from people, we need to feel complete, so we need it. That's a problem. And that's a problem. That's the problem in our relationships, guys. So when we start getting what we need, then we get to share what we have. Amen? Then you'll see your relationships prosper. Because it's like, man, you're pouring out the love. It's like this. Woo! Woo! You know? It's much different and so blessed. So, I want to ask you something. If there's anybody in this room that you've never given your life to Jesus, or maybe you've fallen away and you just want to rededicate your life today, I'm going to give you that opportunity. Because what I'm talking about here is real. There's a war for your life and it's real. But God wins. Love wins. You know, that sergeant that was gunned down in San Bernardino? That was an on fire man of God right there. And his whole family was on fire. I watched the news. It was like they had his funeral on TV, and it was on Fox, ABC, NBC. It was on every single station. And for 2 hours, they preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. They preached. They got up there and they preached. They furthered God's kingdom because they knew their dad was okay. They were hurt. They're going to miss him. But no weapon formed against them shall prosper. See, he's still alive. He's alive with Jesus, and they know they're going to see him again. So they took an opportunity to tell the world. And it was awesome. I was crying. I was saluting the TV. It was crazy. Fallen brother, you know what I mean? Like, I salute you, brother. Look at what you've done. Look at your family on fire for Jesus. It was amazing. It was beautiful. You can't beat love. You can't beat it. Love wins. Love wins. So if you've never given your life to Jesus, or you've backslidden and you want to do that today, I just want to raise your hand and I'm just going to pray with you. I'm just going to pray. Don't be scared. Don't put the ego away. I see your hands. Amen. 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 God bless you. Amen. 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 I see your hands. Awesome. It's beautiful. Today's the day. Today is the day. So, church, help me out here, and let's all pray with them. Father God in heaven, thank you for your son, Jesus. I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. Come into my heart. Come into my life and change me. And with the best of my ability, I believe you died for me and you rose again and you're alive today. So I thank you for filling me with your Holy Spirit. Today I'm saved. Today I'm changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah! That's what I'm talking about! That's what it's all about! Welcome to the family. We love you. More importantly, God loves you. Let me read 1 John real quick. This is how we know that we live in Him and He in us. He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love of God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment, and the one who fears is not made perfect in love. Now I want to do something. Can everybody stand up with me? You've heard me. I told you the truth. I told you the truth about me. I told you the truth as the Holy Spirit led me about with the Word. But now I want you to have an experience. Because see, one touch from the Holy Spirit will change you forever. I know this. And I just felt instructed by God. I brought some anointing oil. Me and David, we're going to anoint you with oil. We're going to pray for you. We want you to be baptized fresh and full in the Spirit of God today. Amen? And it says to be filled and be filled and be filled and be filled. So I want you to keep chasing after God. And keep filling yourself with the Spirit. But I want to invite you down. Anybody? You want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? We want to pray with you. Man, if you have issues going on or you need healing or whatever, God's here today. God is here. Don't be scared. And you know what? Even the people that stand back there, you can't limit God like that. It ain't just them. Be baptized in the Holy Spirit back there then. Amen? This ain't about me. It's about about you and a living God.